This journey that we're on, this faith journey, is a journey that we don't do alone. In fact, we should not do it alone, because it's the most important distinction about the Christian faith. If you're a Buddhist, I don't know if anybody here or not is a Buddhist, and they're great people. You can and you must pursue your personal enlightenment alone in the Buddhist faith. And if you're a Hindu, you can make your personal sacrifice and carry out your personal rituals and attempt to attain nirvana. But you have to do it alone. If you're one of the other Abrahamic religions, Muslim, Jewish, and ones who follow those particular Old Testament traditions, you try to live a moral life by the laws and the teachings that were set before you, but it is a personal journey. But I would like to bless. If you're a Christian, you cannot live out your faith alone, because Christianity is a relational faith, and it's all about relationships. Your relationship with God, and more importantly, your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, your relationship with others is also important, but here is one that is more important than all others, your relationship with yourself. You want to find out who your best friend is? Next time you go to the bathroom and you brush your teeth and you're looking in the mirror, there's your best friend. Because everything about your faith requires us to engage with someone or someone else. And when we engage in relationship with Jesus, our next requirement is to live out that relationship in a relationship with others. That's discipleship. That's the Great Commission that's recorded in Matthew. That's Christianity. God's promise to God's people is a shared promise. Salvation for all, including for the earth itself. Redemption and healing to togetherness in this journey. A building of the kingdom community. And that the last will be first. It's kind of a loving and a giving. So whenever I hear someone say they can have a faith all on their own, I wonder what religion they have, but it's not a relationship for sure, because that's not the definition of Christianity. It just don't work that way. You've got to be in relationship with God through His Son, and in relationship with others, and in good relationship with yourself. So Christians were designed to be traveling a journey of faith with Jesus and with others. Now, this is just not the definition of what it means to be a Christian, that's for sure. Being a Christian simply means that you're a Christ follower, you follow Jesus' teaching, and that's what makes you a Christian. Now, it may not feel like it sometimes, and I know that, especially when we get annoyed sometimes at our brothers and sisters in the faith, or even somebody in the family. But the reality is they are all part of a community called the Christian community. A relationship with Christ. Now, we may be a dysfunctional family, but we're a family just the same. We have each other's backs. Well, at least we think we do, but we do. We really do. And we support each other in our faith journey. That's why when we have a marriage ceremony and we do the vows at the marriage ceremony, we too as a congregation participate in that journey of unity. That's why during baptism, either an infant baptism or any other baptism, it's a congregational witness to the event and vow to support one another or raise up the child in the Christian faith, and we come forward and we lay hands on them. That's why we partake of Holy Communion. We do it together. This is why when someone joins the church and we go through the ritual of the taking them in to be a member of the church, we gather around that person and assure them that we will support them through their faith journey, even when it's hard. Christians are a people who live and love in community. We need each other. Faith can be hard. Discipleship can be challenging, and life even more challenging. Sometimes life is frightening. It certainly was for Mary way back when. And I want us to think about that story this morning as we think about the scripture that I read in Luke. Imagine for a moment how Mary must be feeling. Mary most likely is a young woman, preteen maybe 13 or 14, we really don't know, but she was very young, when she is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Now this is a challenge because she's betrothed to an older man by the name of Joseph. And what does that mean in the old Jewish tradition that you have a wife that has agreed to marry you and you are counting on that? But in the Jewish tradition, you're married as soon as you decide you're going to get married. And then the marriage ritual comes later. It's a big celebration. But here you are, betrothed to this man, Joseph, and you discover you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And this is like committing adultery. And then she has to be thinking about this because in her tradition, if she was caught with adultery, she'd most likely be stoned to death. There's some people that still do that in our world, unfortunately. But she would nevertheless would be disgraced forever, especially with her family. So now Mary's in a big dilemma. What does she do? She doesn't go to her family, that's for sure. That would be a real big mistake. She'd say, hey, I'm pregnant, but I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Not Joseph. I mean, I'm still a virgin. How would you explain that to your family? And how would they believe her? She's most likely frightened out of her wits. But she knows the message that she received from God. It sounds awful. Sounds unbelievable to everybody else. But she cannot handle this situation alone. She needs counsel. She needs advice. And she definitely needs a shoulder to cry on. Some backup. Some direction. So here young Mary travels to see her cousin Elizabeth to Judea, who is significantly older than her. We don't know that for sure, but if Elizabeth was maybe Mary's aunt or cousin or half-sister or in-law, but we do know she was in a way related to Elizabeth. And we do know that Mary obviously trusted Elizabeth. She must have thought that since she was older and wiser, and more importantly, Elizabeth was married to a priest, she could maybe understand Mary's experience and her dilemma and what she was going through, and surely she would know what to do. How wonderful it must have been to receive the welcome that she did. Non-judging, non-threatening, safe, that Mary and Zachariah's home where she was, there the two women bonded over their mutual pregnancies. And Elizabeth confirmed Mary's blessing from God and her role carrying the future Messiah. In faith, they bonded. And in faith, Mary would go forward and be able to talk to Joseph, find protection in her future husband. As you know, he then traveled with her to Bethlehem on a donkey. And given her strength and comfort to be able to have her bear her firstborn son, God with us, Emmanuel. Now Elizabeth was a mentor to Mary, a sister, a sojourner in the faith, and an uplifter, if that is a word, and a friend. And without Elizabeth, Mary might not have been able to have the courage to do what she knew she needed to do when she had to face Joseph. Now, it's no mistake that the Gospel writers tell us about this visit between Mary and Elizabeth. It's important to understand what it means to be a brother or a sister in the faith, an encourager when things get tough. No one's life is perfect. The only perfect one they crucify. None of our lives are perfect, and it never will be. But God promises a picture of a life with Him, that we can handle stress and we can handle pain and get life with experiences. They're all good and bad, challenges and joy. Our lives are filled with the people who can share both of them with us. That's why the relationship with God through Christ and the relationship with brother and sister believers. Because we as Christians live in part of a community of faithful people. Some of us are right here this morning. Some of us are in our neighborhood, our own church community. But you are also part of a community, a world community of Christians. You have brothers and sisters all around the world who knew what it means to follow Christ, to experience tough times and lean on each other for comfort, to share the joys of mountaintop experiences and the Lord's blessings. We, like Elizabeth and Mary, all need those friends. We all need those mentors. We all need those colleagues and supporters who understand our dilemmas, our doubts, and even our questions. They're there for us, reminding us of the precious gift of love and hope from the Messiah's salvation plan. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah.